Vrindavaneshwari Mahanani Ki
Jai,
Sri Radharani Ki
Jai,
Radhastami Mahasav Ki
Jai.
First of all, I'd just like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today. I feel very honored, but I'm certainly not qualified to say anything about Srimati Radharani. And therefore, I'd like to quote certain personalities who are very much qualified, beginning with continuing this song that was so nicely sung by the Lord Mandari. Thank you so much. So, this song, Prabhupada says here, this quotation from Srila Prabhupada, actually, he introduced this song in the Western world on Radhastami on the 30th of August 1968 in the city of Montreal in Canada. And so he says, on that particular day, there's a very nice song, I shall sing if you can play on the harmonium. Yes. This is a Rupa Goswami song. This song was sung by Rupa Goswami. He is a real person, actual person, to understand Radha and Krishna. So he says, all glories to Radharani, Radhe Jai Jai Madhava Jai. She's so dear to Krishna. Krishna, everyone is trying to love Krishna. But Krishna is also trying to love somebody. Now how great she is, just try to understand. Everyone, the whole world, the whole universe, all living entities, they are trying to love Krishna, Krishna Prema. Lord Chaitanya describes Prema Pravartha Mahana. And Rupa Goswami describes that you are distributing Krishna Prema. So Krishna Prema is so valuable. But Krishna is after who? Radharani. Just see how Radharani is great. Just try to understand the greatness of Radharani. Therefore, she is so great. And we have to offer our respect. Radhe Gaya Madhava Daiti. How she is. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Tarani. Tarani means girls. You'll see the pictures. They're all young girls. But of all the young girls, she is the most beautiful. She is enchanting to the young girls also. She is so beautiful. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Dhamadara Dati Mardana Vechi. And she always dresses herself so nicely that Dhamadara Krishna becomes attracted by her beauty. Hari Nikunja Vandana Vikmineshi. And she is the only wonderful object of Krishna. And she is the queen of Vrindavan. This queen of Vrindavan, you'll find in Vrindavan, if you go to Vrindavan, everyone is worshipping Radharani. Rani means queen. They're always speaking, Jai Rani. Jai Rani. Radharani. All the devotees in Vrindavan, they are worshippers of Radharani. Harini Skrita Vanda Vikineshi. Vanda Vandali Nava Shashi Vaiki. And she appeared as the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. And her companion, Lalita Saki, and Vishaka Saki, and the devotees. So on behalf of the pure devotees of Krishna, Rupa Goswami is praying, Karuna Puramayi Karuna Mariti. O my worshipful Srimati Radharani, you are full of mercy. So I am begging of your mercy, because you are so merciful. Very easily you offer, bestow your mercy. So I am begging your mercy. Karuna Puramayi Karuna Mariti. Sanat Sanatam Bhajai Charita. Now somebody may say, oh, you're so great, learned scholar. You're so great, saintly person. And you're begging mercy from an ordinary girl. How is that? Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, oh, this is not an ordinary girl. Sanata, Sanata, Manita, Charity. This girl's description is possible to be made great saintly persons like Sanatha Sanatana, she is not ordinary. So the lesson is that we should not treat Radharani as ordinary girl, or Krishna as ordinary man. They are the supreme absolute truth. But in the absolute truth, there is the pleasure potency, and that is exhibited in the dealings of Radha and Krishna. And Radha's expansion, all the gopis and Krishna, is the supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Can everyone remember when they first heard the name Radha? How far back can you remember? What year can you go back in your mind's eye when you first heard the name Radha? Anybody want to volunteer? 10 years ago? 15 years ago? 30 years ago? 40 years ago? 40 years ago. 40 years ago. I heard the name 41 years ago. 1969. When I decided to join the Radha Krishna temple. It's really funny because there is no Radha Krishna deities. That was the name of the top group, the Radha Krishna temple. That's the name of the devotees who made the first single chanting Hare Krishna with Mr. George Harrison. But it is very prophetic because, of course, you may or may not know this, but Srila Prabhupada installed the very first Radha Krishna deities in London. I think I said this several times in the past. I'm quite proud of that because, after all, I was in Britain and I happened to be British. So I can't help that. So, actually, even Prabhupada instructed Shyam Sundar to make a signboard outside another certain very place. The Radha Krishna temple, then the place, London. So who is Srimati Radharani? First of all, of course, she appeared on the 8th day of the waxing moon of Rishikesh Masa at noon, 12 o'clock. That's why we're fasting. So noon is a half day fast. So who is Srimati Radharani? Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we know, as stated in the Svetas Vatara Upanishad. The Supreme Lord has multi-potencies, which act so perfectly that all consciousness, strength, and activity are being directly solely by His will. The material world where we are now living is called Bahya Anga Shakti, the external energy of Krishna. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 10. Under my superintendence, the material energy is working. Apart from the material, external energy, there is another energy, the internal energy. By the internal energy, the spiritual world is being manifested. As the material world is manipulated under the external energy, the spiritual world is conducted by the internal potency. That internal potency, called Kundalini Shakti, is Srimati Radharani. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adiyula 1.5, it is said, the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separate themselves eternally. Srimati Radharani, as the highest devotee of Sri Krishna, derives the greatest pleasure in serving Him. She is the origin of all the gopis and of all the goddesses of fortune. Were engaged in the service of the Lord. She is the mainstay, the ideal, and the ultimate refuge of all devotees embarking on the path of devotional service. Without first getting the mercy of Srimati Radharani, it is impossible to even approach Sri Krishna. That's why we chant Hare Krishna. We don't just say Krishna, we say Hare Krishna. Hare represents Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada said that many times in the lectures, Hare Krishna means Radha Krishna. doing, we're actually praying. Please accept me as an atom of dust and your Holy Spirit. Please accept me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's what we're saying out loud. Please accept me again. I've been absent from your service for so many lifetimes. Now you please accept me again. And so the only way to approach Krishna is through Srimati Radharani. So this Hare Krishna chanting is not different from Srimati Radharani and Krishna. When one is chanting the Maha Mantra, one is saying, O Krishna, O Radha, please engage me in devotional service. Krishna is difficult to approach directly, but he is bhakta vatsala, always eager to please his devotees. Thus the mood of the devotee is to invoke the compassion of Srimati Radharani, who then recommends the devotee to Sri Krishna. Since Krishna is easily pleased by Srimati Radharani, he then readily accepts the devotee in his service. When I was a very new devotee in London in 1969, there were not so many books available as there are today. At that time, there were Srimad Bhagavatams that Prabhupada had brought from India. He brought 200 sets with the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how much he had finished printing in Delhi before embarking on his journey on the Jalandhara to America. So the first American devotees that arrived in London also were given some of these books by Srila Prabhupada to sell in London. So I also purchased a set, and there was, along with those original Srimad Bhagavatams, there was this book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This was first published in 1968, along with Nectar of Devotion and Prabhupada's abridged Bhagavad Gita, not published by the BBT, but by Macmillan. So, of course, this book is very, very special. I found it extremely esoteric, and I had no idea that this is actually a summary, you can say, of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. His prophet already suffered a heart attack in 1967. And he didn't know how long he was going to live. And he so very much wanted that the teachings of Lord Chaitanya should be available to his students and the people in general. So therefore, he compiled this book. And that's why I like to read from this book, because, again, there's some very special passages, especially the meeting between Vairamana and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, describing Srimati Radharani, because this is where I first learned a little bit more about this very, very exceptional personality of Srimati Radharani. So this is reading from Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, in the chapter entitled The Supreme Perfection. This is page 326. As Krishna is the highest emblem of spiritual perfection, so Radharani is the highest emblem of that spiritual pleasure potency by which Krishna is satisfied. Since Krishna is unlimited, in order to satisfy him, Radharani is also unlimited. Krishna is satisfied just by seeing Radharani, but Radharani expands herself in such a way that Krishna desires to enjoy her more. Because Krishna was unable to estimate the pleasure potency of Radharani, he decided to accept the role of Radharani, and that combination is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy then began to explain Radharani as the supreme emblem of Krishna's pleasure potency, expands herself in different forms, known as Lalita, Vishakha, and her other confidential associates. In his book, Ujjvala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami explains the characteristics of Srimati Radharani. He points out that the body of Radharani is in itself an actual evolution of transcendental pleasure. So you can understand why I thought this was extremely esoteric. Because I've never heard any descriptions of any person like this in my life. And I like to read. So when I was reading this, I was thinking, wow, what does that mean? I still really don't know what it means. That body is decorated with flowers and fragrant aromas and is complete with transcendental love for Krishna. That is the personification of his pleasure potency. That transcendental body takes bath 3 times. You have to see the more as it's like. First, in the water of mercy. Second, in the water of youthful beauty. And third, in the water of youthful luster. Anybody following this? After taking bath 3 times in that way, her body is covered with shining garments and decorated with Krishna's personal beauty, which is compared to cosmetics. Krishna's personal beauty is compared to cosmetics, but not L'Oreal cosmetics. Thus her beauty constitutes the highest artistry. Her body is also decorated with the ornaments of spiritual ecstasy, trembling, tears, petrification. Sometimes in English we say, when we can't say anything or move, say, I'm petrified. Have you heard that? Of course. It's like you get petrified trees that turn into stone. Because petri comes from stone. Although they were once soft wood, now because there's so much age and lying in a certain position, they become petrified. So Radharani also becomes petrified. Perspiration, choking, cessation of all bodily functions due to transcendental pleasure. Stumbling, high blood pressure. Who suffered from high blood pressure? And madness. There's a lot of them in Amsterdam. And the world of madness I'm talking about. But I don't think they're feeling it as an ecstatic symptom. The decorative transcendental pleasure potency manifests 9 symptoms. 5 of these are manifested by the expansion of her personal beauty, which is adorned with garlands of flowers. Her patient calmness is compared with a covering of cloths which have been cleansed by camphor. In India, we use a lot of camphor to keep away the moths. We use kilos of it. But here, because it's actually purified, at first the moths don't like the smell, so they don't land in the clothes. And we'll hear that description of camphor again quite soon. Her confidential agony for Krishna is the knot in her hair. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. Her confidential agony for Krishna is the knot in her hair. This confidential agony, that we're all sitting listening to this through our ears, we're understanding Radharani's innermost feelings. To see how Prabhupada so magnificent he is. And this is going way back to 1968, 42 years ago. He's talking about this and giving us this innermost secret information about Krishna's most dearly beloved. And the mark of Tilak on her forehead is her fortune. It's also our fortune too. Our great fortune to learn about Tilak, which is a Prabhupada. Just seeing the Prabhupada is also such a confidential subject to the King of the other. Radharani's sense of hearing is eternally fixed on Krishna's name and fame. One's lips become red from chewing betel nuts. Similarly, the borders of Radharani's eyes are blackened due to her complete attachment to Krishna. So her eyes take on the hue of Krishna's bodily luster, because that's all she wants to see. This darkness might be compared to ointment used by nature, when nature jokes with Radha and Krishna. Anybody knows what that means? Any ideas? Radharani's smile is just like the taste of camphor. See, there it is again. But we're talking about edible camphor, we're not talking about this synthetic stuff. Please don't try to eat camphor. You might get terrible indigestion. The garland of separation moves on her body. The garland of separation moves on her body when she lies down on a bed of pride within the room of aroma. So we got the temptation. The garland of separation moves on her body when she lies down on the bed of pride within the room of aroma. Out of ecstatic affection for Krishna, her breast is covered by the floods of anger. Reputed as the best of all Krishna's girlfriends, she plays a stringed instrument. When Krishna stands in his youthful posture, she puts her hand on his shoulder. Although she possesses so many transcendental qualities, she is always engaged in the service of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is decorated with sudipta sattvika emotions, which sometimes include tribulation and sometimes pacification. All the transcendental ecstasies are manifested in the body of Srimati Radharani. Sudipta sattvika emotions are manifest when a lover is overwhelmed with certain feelings which he or she cannot check. Radharani has another emotion called Hila Kinchita, which is manifest in 20 different ways. These emotions are manifested partly due to body, mind, and habit. As far as the bodily emotions are concerned, they are manifested in posture and movement. As far as the emotions of the mind are concerned, they are manifested as beauty, luster, complexion, flavor, talking, magnanimity, and patience. As far as habitual emotions are concerned, they are manifested as pastimes, enjoyment, preparation, and forgetfulness. The tilak of fortune is on the forehead of Srimati Radharani, and she also has a locket of prema vaichitya. Prema vaichitya is manifest when a lover and beloved meet and fear separation. Srimati Radharani is 15 days younger than Krishna. She always keeps her hand on the shoulders of her friends, and she always talks and thinks of pastimes with Krishna. She always offers Krishna a kind of intoxication by her sweet talks. And she is always prepared to fulfill his desires. In other words, she supplies all the demands of Sri Krishna, and she possesses unique and uncommon qualities for Krishna's satisfaction. In Govinda Lilamrita, there is a verse which states, "Who is the breeding ground for Krishna's affection?" The answer is that it is only Srimati Radhika. Who is Krishna's most lovable object? The answer is that is only Srimati Radhika and no one else. Sheen in the hair, moisture in the eyes, and firmness in the breasts are all qualities present in Srimati Radhika. Only Srimati Radhika is able to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. No one else can do so. Satya Bhama is another competitor of Srimati Radharani. Who's the other one? Kandravati. But she always desires to come to the standard of Srimati Radharani. This is Satya Bhama. Radharani is so expert in all affairs that all the damsels of Raja come to learn arts from her. She is so extraordinarily beautiful that even the goddess of fortune and Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva, desire elevation to her standard of beauty. Arundhati, who is known as the most chaste lady in the universe, desires to learn the standard of chastity from Srimati Radharani. Since even Lord Krishna cannot estimate Radharani's highly transcendental qualities, it is not possible for an ordinary man to estimate them. After hearing Ramananda Roy speak of the qualities of Radha Krishna, Lord Chaitanya desired to hear from him about the reciprocation of love between them. Ramananda Roy described Krishna as Dira Lalita, a word which describes a person who is very cunning and youthful, who is always expert in joking, who is without anxiety, and who is always subservient to his joker. It's a lot of meanings for Dira Lalita. Krishna is always engaged in love affairs with Radharani, and he takes to the bushes of Vrindavan to enjoy his lusty activities with her. Thus he successfully carries out his lusty instincts. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it is stated, by his impudent and daring talks about sex indulgence, Krishna obliged Srimati Radharani to close her eyes. And taking advantage of this, Krishna painted many pictures on her breasts. These pictures serve as subject matter for Radharani's friends to joke about. So obviously she was so much stunned by what Krishna was speaking to her that not only did she have her eyes closed, but also she had no feeling or sensation on her breasts as he was drawing these pictures. Thus Krishna was always engaged in lusty activities, and thus he made his beautiful life successful. Of course, we shouldn't try to emulate or imitate what Krishna is doing, especially young men who are very youthful. You can't take this as, well, Krishna did that, so I can do that too. No, because this is on a completely transcendental level. Because we've already read, that's why I introduced this subject matter as being on the absolute platform. There's nothing mundane about any of these descriptions that you're hearing through your ears. Upon hearing of these transcendental activities, Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear Ramananda, what you have explained regarding the transcendental pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna is perfectly correct. Yet there is something more I would like to hear from you. It is very difficult for me to express anything beyond this," Ramananda Roy replied. "I can only say that there is an emotional activity called Prema Vilasa Vivarta, which I may try to explain, but I do not know whether you will be happy to hear it. In Prema Vilasa, there are two kinds of emotional activities, separation and meeting. That transcendental separation is so acute that it is actually more ecstatic than meeting. Ramananda Roy is expert in understanding these highly elevated dealings between man and Krishna, and he composed a nice song which he narrated to the Lord. The purport of the song is that the lover and the beloved, before meeting, generate a kind kind of emotion by the exchange of their transcendental activities. That emotion is called raga, or attraction. Srimati Radharani expressed her willingness that this attraction and affection between us rise to the highest extent. But the cause of this attraction is Radharani herself. Whatever the cause may be, Radharani said, that affection between you and me has mixed us in oneness. Now that is the time of separation. I can see the history of the evolution of this love. There was no cause or mediator in our love save our meeting itself and the visionary exchange of feelings. This exchange of feelings between Krishna and Radharani is very difficult to understand unless one is elevated to the platform of pure goodness. Such transcendental reciprocation is not even possible to understand from the platform of material goodness. One has to actually transcend material goodness in order to understand. This is because the exchange of feelings between Radha and Krishna is not a subject matter of this material world. Even the greatest mental speculator cannot understand this directly or indirectly. Material activities are manifested either through the gross body or the subtle mind. But this exchange of feelings between Radha and Krishna is beyond such manifestations and beyond intellectual mental speculation. It can only be understood by purified senses freed from all the designations of the material world. Those who have purified senses can understand these transcendental creatures and exchanges, but those who are impersonalist and who have no knowledge of spiritual senses can only discriminate within the scope of the material senses and thus cannot understand spiritual exchanges or spiritual sensual activities. Those who are elevated by virtue of experimental knowledge can only satisfy their blunt material senses, either by gross bodily activities or by mental speculation. Everything generated from the body or the mind is always imperfect and perishable. But transcendental spiritual activities are always bright and wonderful. Pure love on the transcendental platform is the paragon of purity, devoid of material affection and completely spiritual. Affection for matter is perishable, as indicated by the inebriety of sex in the material world. But there is no such inebriety in the spiritual world. Hindrances on the path of sense-gratifying satisfaction cause material distress. But one cannot compare that with spiritual separation. In spiritual separation, there is neither inebriety nor ineffectiveness, as one finds in material separation. Lord Chaitanya admitted that this is the highest position of transcendental loving reciprocation. And he told Brahma in the line, by your grace only have I been able to understand such a high transcendental position. Such a position cannot be attained without the performance of transcendental activities. So will you kindly explain to me how I can raise myself to this platform? It is simply difficult for me to make you understand, Ramananda replied. As far as I am concerned, I can only speak what you wish me to. No one can escape your supreme will. Indeed, there is no one in the world who can surpass your supreme will. And although I appear to be speaking, I am actually not the speaker. You are speaking. Therefore, you are both the speaker and the audience. Thus, let me speak only as you will make me to speak, about the performance required to attain this highest transcendental position. Ramananda Rao then began to relate the confidential and transcendental activities of Radha and Krishna. These activities cannot be understood in the emotional relationship with the Supreme Lord as master and servant, friend and friend, or parent and son. This confidential subject matter can be understood only in association with the damsels of Raja. For the confidential activities have arisen from the feelings and emotion of these damsels. Without the association of the damsels of Raja, one cannot nourish or cherish such transcendental understanding. In other words, these confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna have expanded through the mercy of the damsels. Without their mercy, they cannot be understood. One has to follow in the footsteps of the damsels of Raja in order to understand. That's known as Radha Lila. And that's why Sri Rupa Goswami is such an expert Situated in that understanding, he becomes eligible to enter into the covenantal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. There is no alternative to understand. They're covenantal pastimes. This is confirmed in Govinda Lilamrita. Although manifest, happy, expanded, and unlimited, the emotional exchanges between Radha and Krishna can only be understood by the damsels of Raja or by their followers. Just as no one can understand the expansion of the spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord without His causeless mercy, no one can understand the transcendental sex life between Radha and Krishna without following in the footsteps of the damsels of Raja. The personal associates of Radharani are called Sakis, and their mere assistants are called Panjayas. It is very difficult to express their dealings with Krishna because they have no desire to mix with Krishna or to enjoy Him personally. Rather, they are always ready to help Radharani associate with Krishna. Their affection for Krishna and Radharani is so pure that they are simply satisfied when Radha and Krishna are together. Indeed, their transcendental pleasure is in seeing Radha and Krishna united. The actual form of Radharani is just like a creeper embracing the tree of Krishna. And the damsels of Raja, the associates of Radharani, are just like the leaves and flowers of that creeper. When a creeper embraces a tree, the leaves and flowers as well as the creeper automatically embrace it. Govinda Lilamrita confirms that Radharani is the expansion of the pleasure potency of Krishna and is compared with the creeper, and her associates, the damsels of Raja, are compared to the flowers and leaves of that creeper. When Radharani and Krishna enjoy themselves, the damsels of Raja relish the pleasure more than Radharani herself. Although the associates of Radharani do not expect any personal attention from Krishna, Radharani is so pleased with them that she arranges individual meetings between Krishna and the damsels of Raja. Indeed, Radharani tries to combine or unite her associates with Krishna by many transcendental maneuvers, and she takes more pleasure in these meetings than in her own meetings with him. When Krishna sees that both Radharani and her associates are pleased by his association, he becomes more satisfied. Such association and loving reciprocation have nothing to do with material lust, although it resembles the material union between man and woman. It is only because that similarity is there that such reciprocation is sometimes called, in transcendental language, transcendental lust, as explained in the book Bhutamya Tantra. Lust means attachment to one's personal sense gratification. As far as Radharani and her associates are concerned, they did not desire personal sense gratification. They only wanted to satisfy Krishna. This is further confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, Text 19. In one of the speeches of the gopis, she says, "My dear friend Krishna, you are now rolling in the forest with your bare feet, which is sometimes keep on our breasts. When your feet are on our breasts, we think that our breasts are too hard for your soft feet. Now you are wandering in the forest and walking over stones, and we do not know how you are feeling. Since you are our life and soul, the displeasure you undergo in traveling over rough stones is giving us great distress. Such feelings expressed by the damsels of Raja constitute the highest Krishna conscious emotions. Anyone who actually becomes captivated by Krishna consciousness approaches this level of the gopis. There are 64 categories of devotional service by performance of which one can rise to the gopi stage of unconditioned devotion. Affection for Krishna at the level of the gopis is called Raghavruva, spontaneous love. When one enters into a spontaneous loving affair with Krishna, there is no need to follow the Vedic rules and regulations." This is the type of information Srila Prabhupada is giving to the world in this teaching of Lord Chaitanya. So of course we're very blessed that he also of course lived to translate the entire Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. When the Lord descends, he is invariably accompanied by his loving associates. 5,000 years ago, when Sri Krishna descended in his original form as a cover-flying Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani accompanied him in her original form. She appeared exactly 2 weeks after the appearance of Sri Krishna on the 8th day of the waning moon, Ashvini, today. Srimati Radharani was found on the lotus flower by Vrishabhanu in a place called Lalo, and his wife Kirtita near the village of Varsana. Vrishabhanu and his wife Kirtita found this lotus flower, inside the lotus flower, they found this beautiful baby, which is a few miles away from Nandaka. It is said that Srimati Radharani first opened her eyes only when Sri Krishna appeared before her. Until that time, her eyes were closed. Understanding the mellows of the relationship between Radha and Krishna is impossible from the mundane perspective. Understanding Madhurya Rasa, which is the highest level of the relationship of the devotee with Krishna, is only possible in the most elevated stages of bhakti, where there is not even a tinge of material contamination. Therefore, Sri Dhanaraja Swami has written, "The loving affairs of Radha and Krishna are not ordinary, material loving affairs. Although they appear like that, rascals and fools misunderstand Krishna to be an ordinary man. They do not know Krishna's transcendental nature. They try to imitate Krishna's Rasalila, his dancing with the gopis. There is no offense greater than this. Devotees starting on the path of bhakti must carefully avoid such offenses. They must simply pray to Srimati Radharani as their most compassionate mother for mercy, for bhakti, and for an opportunity to serve Krishna." So what is that mercy of Srimati Radharani? Srimati Radharani is the ideal Mahabhagavat. As the greatest devotee, she is also the most compassionate. She is unable to bear the suffering of the souls trapped in the material world. The word aradhaya, prayers, is derived from Radha and means worshipable. Similarly, the word Aparada. Aparada. He's also saying Radha's name, Aparada. Offenses means against Radharani. Aparada. It's a new thing with that word. When one performs devotional service, when it's pleasing Srimati Radharani, and when one commits Vaishnava Aparada against Krishna as devotees, one is offending Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the guardian, the mentor, and the benefactor of all aspiring devotees. When a soul starts to inquire about Krishna, Srimati Radharani is most pleased and takes charge of his devotional advancements. As one makes progress, one continues to invoke the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And when she is pleased, Krishna is automatically pleased. So, Radharani, Srimati Radharani Puja. Radharani also possesses 25 qualities. And through these qualities, she purchases and captures Krishna. 1. She is sweetness personified. 2. She is a fresh young girl. 3. Her eyes are always moving. 4. She is always brightly smiling. 5. She possesses auspicious marks on her body. 6. She can agitate Krishna by the flavor of her person. 7. She is expert in the art of singing. 8. She can speak very nicely and sweetly. 9. She is expert in presenting feminine attractions. 10. He is modest and gentle. 11. She is always very merciful. 12. She is transcendentally cunning. 13. She knows how to dress nicely. 14. She is always shy. 15. She is always respectful. 16. She is always patient. 17. She is very brave. 18. She is enjoyed by Krishna. 19. She is always situated on the highest devotional platform. 20. She is the abode of love of the residents of Gokula. 21. She can give shelter to all kinds of devotees. 22. She is always affectionate to superiors and inferiors. 23. She is the greatest amongst Krishna's girlfriends. 24. She is obliged by the dealings of her associates. 25. She always keeps Krishna under her control. So Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid, but Srimati Radharani is Madana Mohana Mohini, the attractor of Cupid. And Srimati Radhika attracts Krishna by her devotion. In Nectar of Devotion, page 175, under the qualities of Krishna, compassionate, Srila Prabhupada writes, a person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotee is taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. Also in Nectar of Devotion, page 259. When Srimati Radharani first saw Krishna, she suddenly became conscious of all transcendental happiness, and the functions of her different limbs were stunned. When Lalita, her constant companion, whispered into her ear the holy name of Krishna, Radharani immediately opened her eyes wide. One day, in a joking mood, Krishna informed Radharani, "My dear Radharani, I am going to give up your company." Upon saying this, he immediately disappeared. And because of this, Radharani immediately fell down upon the ground of Vrindavan. She had practically stopped breathing. But when she smelled the flavor of the flowers on the ground, she awoke in ecstasy and got up. One night, Srimati Radharani was talking in a dream. "My dear Krishna," she said, "please do not play any more jokes on me. Please stop. And please don't touch my garments either. Otherwise I shall inform the elder persons, and I shall disclose all of your naughty behavior." She was talking like this in a dream. She suddenly awoke and saw some of her superiors standing before her. Thus Radharani became ashamed and bowed her head. So beware about talking in your sleep. This is another little section called Srimati Radharani on love. Srimati Radharani said, "If you want to understand my love for Krishna, then listen attentively. Prema is so great that even the knowers of the Vedas cannot know it, nor others who claim to know it. Sakhi, one who teaches prema to an inquisitive person cannot know it, nor can their hearer know it. It's all just imitation. Prema disappears before both the discriminate and indiscriminate person, but that pure-hearted soul who is free from discrimination and is full of sacred greed is able to approach the throne of natural love. That is shown through the lover's activities, which are only dedicated to the happiness of the beloved. Just as a lion feeds himself on elephants, prema feeds itself, defeating all miseries that are as heavy as mountains and are caused by things of this world, the next world, one's own family, one's enemies, or one's most beloved one. That lion of prema is proud of its bodily luster and is fearless. He can go to sleep without worrying. What worries will the lion have when the dogs of unfavorable attachments bark? Prema shines like a lamp in the darkness. Because of this deceitfulness, prema appears to be fresh and intoxicated every moment. giving joy to the three worlds at the core womb, and heat of the burning sun at the time of universal destruction during separation. O dear Sati, in whom else in all the three worlds of the London, but in Krishna, the prince of the gardens, is this prema to be found? Only the doe-eyed gopis of Vrindavan can relish this according to their qualifications. Krishna is an ocean of love, a mind of jewel-like qualities, and he's most attractive to the girls. For this he shows symptoms of lust like deceitfulness, naughtiness, and crookedness. But this is actually prema. Can 100,000 girls, even with great endeavor, satisfy Krishna's desires? None of them can. So it must be their causeless love for him that makes him interested in them. Of all these gopis, Lord Krishna is most attracted to me, to Radharani. That is well known in the world. That can never be false. He considers my love to be as great as Mount Meru, and the love of the other gopis to be like three or four mustard seeds. An exhibition of transcendental fire. The Skanda Purana states that out of many thousands of gopis, 16,000 are predominant. And out of 108 gopis, 8 are still more prominent. Out of the 8 gopis, Radharani and Chandravali are prominent. And out of these 2 gopis, Radharani is the most prominent. Because Radha possesses all the charm and sweetness, she is the better of the two. In the Shruti Shastra, Radharani is known by the name Gandharva Devi. Srimati Radharani considers Sri Krishna millions and millions of times more dear than her own life's breath. When we compare the gopis, it appears that Srimati Radharani is most important because the real creature expresses the highest ecstasy of love. The Mahabhava experienced by the other gopis cannot be compared to that of Sri Radha. Radharani is the very form of ecstatic love for Sri Krishna, who says, "The happiness I feel when meeting Radharani is 100 times greater than the happiness I get from meeting others." Srimati Radharani is the beloved consort of Krishna. She is the wealth of Krishna's life. Without Radharani, there is no topmost love. Being the greatest devotee and the nearest worshipper of Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani possesses the most exemplary and exalted mentality. Srimati Radharani said, "I do not mind my personal distress. I only wish for the happiness of Krishna, for his happiness is the goal of my life. However, if he feels great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura says that a devotee does not care about his own happiness or distress. He is simply interested in seeing that Krishna is happy. And for that purpose, he engages in various activities. A pure devotee has no way of sensing happiness except by seeing that Krishna is happy in every respect. If Krishna becomes happy by giving him distress, such a devotee accepts that unhappiness as the greatest of all happiness. And here's a special reason for writing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Since so many Puranas already depict Krishna's pastimes, it was not necessary to retell Lord Krishna's pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What was the special reason for writing the Srimad Bhagavatam? The Srimad Bhagavatam was written to introduce and describe the glories of the gopis, and especially to establish Srimati Radharani's supremely elevated position as the most beloved of the Supreme Lord. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 83, Text 42, the word Shriya refers to the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Srimati Radharani. The transcendental goddess, Srimati Radharani, is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. Radha is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. Radharani possesses all attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. Radharani is the internal potency of the Lord. So I can think of what was a very nice description of the indescribable beauty of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is 15 years old and full of the luster of youth. Radha is expert in all the 64 fine arts, and her transcendental form is like an ocean of nectar. Radha's splendid bodily luster is like molten gold or stationary lightning. Radha wears wonderfully beautiful blue garments, and she is decorated with various pearls and flowers. Radharani is very beautiful and has long, nicely braided hair. Radha's splendid forehead is decorated with the red pigment, sindur, and with beautiful locks of curling hair. Decorated with blue bangles, Srimati Radharani's arms have defeated Cupid's staff with their beauty. Decorated with black mascara, Radhika's expanded lotus eyes are the most beautiful in all the three planetary systems. Radhika's nose is as beautiful as a sesame flower, and the tip is nicely decorated with a pearl. Anointed with various perfumes, Sri Radha is splendidly beautiful. Radha's ears are decorated with wonderful earrings, and her nectarian lips defeat red lotus flowers. Srimati Radharani's teeth are a row of pearls, and her tongue is very beautiful. Decorated with a smile of pure love for Krishna, Radha's beautiful face is as splendid as millions of moons. The beauty of Radhika's chin has defeated and bewildered Cupid. Decorated with a drop of musk, Radha's chin appears like a golden lotus flower with a bumblebee. Bearing all the marks of wonderful beauty, Radha's neck, back, and sides are enchantingly gorgeous. Radhika's breasts are like splendid golden water pots covered with a bodice decorated with a pearl necklace. Srimati Radharani's beautiful enchanting arms are two red lotus flowers illuminated by the series of moons that are her fingernails. Jeweled rings decorate Radha's splendidly beautiful fingers. Charming, full of sweet nectar and decorated with a deep navel, Sri Radha's beautiful waist enchants the three worlds. Radhika's sloping hips lead to her charmingly beautiful slender waist, which is bound by a creeper of three beautiful folds of skin and decorated with a sash of tingling bells. As beautiful as two exquisite plantain trees, Sri Radha's thighs enchant the mind of Cupid. Sri Radha's beautiful knees are two reservoirs filled with the nectar of various transcendental pastimes. Radha's beautiful feet are decorated with jeweled ankle bells, and her toes with turrets, as beautiful as the treasure of Varuna. And she also wears gold and flower ornaments. Srimati Radharani wears 12 different ornaments on her transcendental form. These ornaments, which include Radha's crown, earrings, belt, ankle belts, finger and toe rings, armlets, and jewel necklaces that look like strings of stars, are all fashioned from pure gold. They appear like myriad shining suns. Sri Radha wears a locket containing a picture of Sri Krishna and a signet ring that is engraved with Radha. Radha's Shamataka jewel is also known as Sankachuta Siravani, Sankachuta's crest jewel. Srimati Radhika's ankle bells stun Sri Krishna with their tinkling sound. Besides jewels and gold, Radha wears a variety of flower crowns, necklaces, armlets, sashes, earrings, bracelets, anklets, and blouses. Radha taught Lalita Sati how to make these flower decorations. Just like the pujaris are so beautifully dressed, Radharani and Krishna. So many nice decorations. Which Radharani actually prefers over the jewel variety. She prefers to be dressed in gold and jewels. Ornaments. In fact, Srimati Radharani's favorite crown is made from flowers and buds of five colors arranged in five points. The gopis also artistically arrange flowers to create five different kinds of earrings, resembling objects like a peacock, a lotus, shark, or a half moon. The glaringly effulgent tiara's shimmering halo beautifully sports in all directions, stretching to the horizon. Glistening sleek armlets, bracelets and necklaces refract a collective flickering of jewel-like coronas. Srimati Radharani's clothing. Wearing light-colored clothes during the full moon are dark colors in the moon's absence. Srimati Radharani dresses to please her beloved Krishna and to facilitate her nightly meetings with her gallant lover, Sri Shamsundar, but his favorite outfit is a Krishna blue sari and shawl, matched with a pink blouse that delights Sri Krishna. So nice that the predominant color is blue. She very much likes that color. Radharani's upper garment is red like a ruby, and it's a favorite of Lord Hari. Radha's lower garment is the color of a blue cloth, and it is her favorite. Sri Krishna said to Sri Radha, all glories to your wonderful ruby red silk sari. O Radha, this sari has double the passionate love I bear for you in my heart. Glorification of Srimati Radharani's indescribable beauty. Sri Krishna praised Srimati Radharani. My dear Radha, your curling locks of hair, long restless eyes, firm breasts, slender waist, shiny lowered head, creeper-like arms, and jewel-like fingernails are all exquisitely beautiful. The jubilant festival of your beauty makes the three worlds tremble in transcendental bliss. The beauty of Srimati Radharani's eyes forcibly devours the beauty of the newly growing blue lotus flower, and the beauty of Radha's face surpasses that of an entire forest of fully blossomed lotuses. Radha's bodily luster seems to place even gold in a painful situation. Thus the wonderful, unprecedented beauty of Srimati Radharani is awakening in Vrindavan. This is from Vidagda Madhava by Srila Goswami. Entwining this way and that with decorations of fresh forest flowers and bound and tied up with jewel threads, adorned with jasmine garlands, exotic fragrance, and hanging down very best of noble gemstones. Your hairstyle, arranged by the hand of Hari, will I ever see it, O Radhi? Teeth like rows of pearls and lovely lips like bimba berries, thin waist, white hips, and a deep navel like a whirlpool of newer youth. This indescribable lover, the very heart of the cleverest maidens, may Radharani protect us. O moon-faced one, O doe-eyed one, O goddess, O lovely nosed one, O one with reddish lips, O sweet smiler, O supreme Lakshmi, O creeper amulet, O lustrous one, O conch-shell smooth neck, O one with plantain tree-shaped thighs, O whose collection of Buddhist toenails brightly illuminates all directions, when already will you be worshipped by me? So these are just a few descriptions of the beauty of Srimati Radharani and the transcendental qualities of Jesus. Srimati Radharani ki jai, Sri Rastami Mahotsava ki jai, Sri La Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gurum Parampara ki jai, Gaurvanandana Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Thank you.
I think the number during the process of the day is the process of the day.